Take a Bible and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 16. Been kind of going through significant stories in the Old Testament, starting back in Genesis and moving forward. And this is one that, I don't know, we probably talk about every 4 or 5 years, maybe more frequently. But it's a tremendous story about how God took care of his people in the wilderness. And like we know, in their time in the wilderness, for most of the time, they didn't deserve God's help, and they really didn't care whether God helped them or not unless it was convenient for them. And so we see that God is always leading his people, guiding his people, doing what's right for his people, providing grace in the wilderness for his people. So I'm going to read chapter 16, verses 1 through 18 in the book of Exodus. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And while Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time that we have to open your word before us. And I pray as we look at this passage this morning that we would be overwhelmed with the provision that you make for your people. And Father, in those times that we find ourselves grumbling or complaining, let us realize that really what's at the root of that grumbling and complaining is a failure to trust you in some way. Help us, Lord, to remember the times and ways that you have provided for your people in the past, but also how you continue to provide for us now. Help us to be grateful, thankful people who move forward with you, sharing the message of Christ with others and leading more people into your kingdom. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his life and his teaching. We thank you for his death. We thank you for his resurrection. We thank you for his ascension to your right hand. And we await his return as we pray in his name. Amen. How many of us like to complain? Don't raise your hands. I'm included in that number. We complain about things that we don't like. And for some of us, there are a lot of things that we don't like. And so we complain about it. You could turn on any political or news show this week, this past week, and hear enough complaining probably to last us a lifetime. Complaining is embedded in our culture. It is part of who we are. It's part of our society. We make claims that we have free speech, and so we use that free speech to complain and grumble when we don't get our way, always proceeding as though we are the ones who know best about everything. Complaining gives us a way to separate ourselves from others whose opinions or whose themselves we just don't like. And the problem with complaining, and it's a problem that I wrestle with myself, I don't want anyone to think that I'm talking to you this morning, I'm talking to us. The problem with complaining is that it places us at the center of everything. And so rather than serving other people with humility, we find ourselves putting ourselves above others and looking down on them. And in some cases, what we actually find is that we criticize government for not doing what we think is right, not realizing while we make these complaints that we have brothers and sisters in faith, sometimes standing right beside us, who have a completely different view. And now we put a division in that relationship for the sake of our complaining about what we like and don't like about government. Or we look at other churches who function differently than we do, churches who do their best to serve their members and reach out to the community around them, and because we don't like their methods or some of their teachings, we criticize them. If the same churches were to do the same to us, we'd be up in arms about it. Each church autonomously makes their own decisions, and when we criticize them, again, we create divisions within relationships. Or we turn on our own and we criticize other believers for a variety of things. Not showing up to the things that we think are important. Not participating in a ministry that we believe in. Not doing an activity the way that we think it ought to be done. And in each case, relationships with each other are set aside based on our own sense of self-importance that leads us to complain or grumble about them. Complaining and grumbling is a problem. And it's a problem especially in the church, where when Christians find themselves complaining about different things, it almost always reveals a lack of awareness of God and a failure to trust in Him and an overlooking of His provisions for us. If God would only do what we think is necessary, then all would be well. Indeed, we yearn for the days, just like Israel did, when we had it better. When everything hummed along, when everything went right, when everybody attended everything, when everything was just the way we remember it to be, we had it better, and we complain about not having those days anymore. And when we read this story about the Israelites in Exodus chapter 16, we realize that Israel was better off. They had been in Egypt, and in Egypt, things had crumbled around them. And the idea at the beginning of the book of Exodus is that Israel may, to a large extent, have even forgotten who God was, for the most part. He was distant to them. He was almost foreign to them. They were out living as slaves in a land, crying out to the God that they remembered because of the oppression that they were undergoing on a regular basis. When one day God heard their cries, and He went and raised up the unlikeliest of heroes, a man who had no confidence in himself, a man who struggled to get the people behind him, a man who did not believe he could be influential before Pharaoh, and yet God raised up Moses and sent Moses in to deliver His people. And Moses did. He took them out. And He began leading them forward in God's way through the wilderness. And just in case they forgot what that was about, they could think back to the Passover that they shared on the night before they left. And the way that God killed every firstborn in the land who did not have the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. But for those Israelites who were faithful to that command, God passed over their houses and allowed their firstborn sons to live. And then they left. And when they came up to the Red Sea, and they had the problem where they saw Pharaoh and his army coming behind them, and they felt as though maybe they had been led into a trap. Maybe they were going to be caught. And if we're caught and taken back to Egypt, it's going to be even worse for us than when we started. Suddenly at that time, God opened up the water and allowed Israel to cross on dry land. And then he brought the waters crashing back down to destroy the enemy, to take out Pharaoh and his army, to let his people go free, to continue the journey of faith that they had begun when they left the land with Moses, following him, listening to God's command, being provided for with a pillar of fire at night and a cloud leading them by day. And yet they found themselves out in the wilderness. And suddenly they realized that their food stores were running low and they were hungry. And so the chapter begins by letting us know that in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They were hungry. They wanted food. It wasn't just one clan. It wasn't just one person. It wasn't a minority of people who tried to rise up against the leadership of Moses and Aaron. It was the whole group. All of them that were in the desert. All of them that had seen the provisions that God had made for them. All of them that had been led out by God. All of them that had been taken care of up to this point now grumbled against God's leaders to say, this is not good enough for us. We had it better back there. Now think about this for a minute. Think about this insult to God. Think about what the Israelites were really saying. It was not God's idea to take them out of Egypt. Rather, it was God responding to their cries of oppression to be rescued, to be delivered by him. God listened to their cries as they were in Egypt and nothing was going right for them. And as a people, they were oppressed. They had nothing. Pharaoh was against them. They struggled and they cried out and God delivered them. And now these people said, it would be better for us if we had never left. Away from slavery, away from oppression, being led by their God into a new frontier. And their response was, it would be better for us to go back. When they became hungry in the desert, they remembered their time in Egypt, the meat they had there, and though they were slaves in Egypt, they wanted to go back. Back to slavery, back to oppression, back to being led by somebody else other than God. I wonder if sometimes, even in the church, we can be guilty of or find ourselves having a back to Egypt mentality. We remember things in a certain way, and even if we have those things wrong in our minds, we act on those remembrances by comparing the past with the present and complaining about the present that we have. And we complain and we yearn to go back to the good old days when everything was going right for us. And so we join this Back to Egypt club when we look at our current experience and we try to relive those good old days and we criticize church members who we think are in the way of that. And we grumble about them and their ideas and the things that they want because we realize that they're getting in the way of the past that we used to have that we want to try to recover because it was better for us back then. Or when we try to force programs and ministries that are clearly not working because someone fondly remembers those things or because that's how we've always done it. The end result is to grumble and complain about those who are not coming along, to create divisions, to look back on the past and to say that's where we need to go rather than following the lead and the provision of God into the future. Or we grumble about the culture around us, not realizing that it's probably our inactivity within that culture that has led to our irrelevance within that culture. And so we look at these things and we desire, in our own experience, metaphorically, to go back to Egypt. We find ourselves in the wilderness. Our plans, our ideas, they keep coming up short. And we blame other people. We criticize other people. We grumble about other people. When what we really need is grace. We need God's grace. We need the grace that God showed Israel in the wilderness, but will we find in our own wilderness that grace that only God provides? Spent a lot of time in this sermon talking about complaining and criticizing and grumbling because it's a reality that we all deal with. It's a reality that we deal with when we don't turn to God to lead us, but when we trust ourselves to lead ourselves. And when we look at what we can do and what we expect other people to do that is based on what we can do or what we've already done, we grumble and complain and criticize when people don't come along, but we're asking them to follow us, not God. We need to turn to God and to see that just like he did with Israel, God provides for his people then, and he will provide for us now. And so we see in verses 6 through 8 a criticism that God made towards his people Israel, who thought that they could complain about the leadership of Moses and Aaron, that it was their fault that there was no food. And who knows, maybe they wanted to replace Moses and Aaron. Maybe they thought that if we could bring someone else in who was maybe a little more proactive or who would listen to us better or whatever, if we could bring them in, they'll do a better job for us. Or maybe, like is what usually is the case, they just wanted to complain. We're hungry, it's somebody's fault. And when we just want to complain, we always complain on those who are out front and most visible. But Moses says, you're not complaining about me and Aaron. You're grumbling against God. And this is the way it is. This is the reality that we need to face in our own complaining. We can grumble and complain about other people, people that aren't participating as we view participation, people that aren't playing the game that we want them to play, people that aren't coming along into the system that we want them to come along into. And we can grumble about people, but what this really demonstrates and reveals is that we have a lack of confidence, trust, or faith in God. And just like Israel was complaining against Moses and Aaron, we find ourselves complaining against people, but our complaint is really against God. But thank God for his grace. Thank God that when Israel complained, even though they were complaining against him and not against Moses and Aaron, thank God that he never once condemned them in this passage. He didn't threaten to be done with them. He didn't threaten to punish them. He said, I'm going to provide for them. And we can see this running throughout the entire passage. Look at what happens in verse 3. The Israelites say to Moses and Aaron, listen to this. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. They've been led out by God. They've been taken out of their slavery. They've been removed from their oppression. They're hungry. And they say, just like Jonah did, we'd be better off to be dead right now. And that's their view. They say, if only we had died at God's hands in Egypt. There we had meat. We had all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out here to starve us all to death. The very next speaker that we have in this passage is the Lord. And look at what the Lord says. He does not say, I'm going to kill my fickle people now, or I'm going to feed them now to punish them later. God says, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. That's how God responded. Listen to his grace. Listen to his provision for his people who grumbled against him. And they thought they were grumbling against the human leaders, but Moses and Aaron make it abundantly clear, you're not complaining about us. You're not grumbling against us. You're grumbling against God. But God says, I will give them what they need. And he did. We see in verses 11 through 16 that That not only does God's presence appear before the camp to encourage them and to show them who was really leading them, but at night, quail. And in the morning, manna. And they had everything that they needed, so much so that the narrator of this passage tells us the people went out, some gathered much, some gathered little, but when they waited out, everybody had what they needed. And God provided for all of his people to give them what they needed. Not more, not less. No one was left out. Everyone had what they needed. In fact, that's exactly how verse 18 reads at the very end. This last sentence there in that verse. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. God provided for his people. And the provision was made. Grace was found in the wilderness. All was made well. And this provision of manna, where God took care of his people by providing food, lasted for decades. It's not until Israel goes into the promised land in the book of Joshua that the manna stops. God provided for his people for an entire generation until they had the means to provide for themselves. He kept giving and giving and giving and giving, only stopping when he had completely equipped his people to be able to take care of themselves. When he gave them the land that he had promised to them before he gave them the manna. And they followed God's lead. They took his provision and they went forward. So we may find ourselves individually or as a church at times in this same type of wilderness that Israel did, walking around looking for direction, not sure where to go. But like Israel, we too can find grace in this wilderness. In fact, may I suggest that that grace is already there. We merely have to look for it and then take it. And so where do we find ourselves grumbling and complaining today? What people are we blaming for holding us back? Who are we criticizing for not participating the way that we want them to participate? Who are we complaining about? What are we complaining about? Let us realize the folly in this. The pride, the arrogance, the self-centeredness. And instead of assuming that we can lead everybody forward with our own means, let us instead look for God's leading. So the question is, where is God leading us? How is he leading us? How is he providing for us? Instead of grumbling and complaining, let us look for those places where God has given us enough. Let us find how God has graced us and provided us with enough, and let that enough be enough for us. Let us take that provision and let God feed us through his own provision, which is a sign of his leadership over us. And let us take that spiritual nourishment and continue to move forward so that God will be glorified. We have grace in our own wilderness. We have the leadership of God. We have the means by which God has provided for us. We have enough. Let us seize that enough today. And leave behind grumbling and complaining. And move forward as a church, following God's leading, leaving the rest behind, because it's only God's leadership of us that matters. If you are here this morning, and if you need to respond to the Lord in some manner, we encourage you to do so at this time as we stand and sing.